You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Hey guys, this is Chris here. This is going to be our recording, our review for Unfriended, the Dark Web, or just Dark Web. I'm not sure. It's weird. No one actually gets unfriended in this movie. There's no unfriending happening anywhere. It's almost like we're watching It Comes at Night all over again. No, I'm just kidding. Except there is no unfriending. But not like that really matters. But what I'm here to tell you about, we'll all talk about it in the review. We got Miguel, we got Elliot, we got me, and Aaron talking about the film. But I want to say first, of course, we're sponsored by Oscar Blues Brewing Company, who make delicious beers. And they are the sponsor of oneofus.net. They have brew pubs located in Colorado, two of them, one in North Carolina, one in Austin. You should go visit them in their brew pubs. You should try their beers, or you can get it in the can. They were the first craft brewery to put their beer in a can with their delicious Dale's Pale Ale. I myself am partial to their Old Chub, which is a Scotch ale. I'm quite fond of it, even though it's very bad for me because it's super dangerous and I'm not always the best at gauging how many I've had because it's so delicious. It just goes down like chocolate milk. Also, thank you to the subscribers. You know who you are. You are the only reason we can keep doing this, and I'm not kidding. We totally, if we don't keep getting more of you guys, if we don't have you guys there, there's no podcast. There's no oneofus.net. I cannot. This site is super expensive to do. It's super time consuming to do. You have no idea how much time actually is involved with putting this thing on. And it is a full-time job and a half. It's really two full-time jobs is how much time we're talking about I spend each week putting everything together. And I can't afford, I mean, basically, I don't have time to do much besides just this. If we don't get you subscribers in there, I can't afford to do it. So please think about becoming a subscriber at oneofus.net. You are the ones who keep us going. There's a lot of bonus content, a lot that's built up over the years of bonus content in there in our forums. Get a forum account, start a subscription. I will set up your forum account where you get access to all sorts of cool stuff and we will both be happy. This movie, Martin Thomas is all like, nah, nah, nah. And I'm like, what is the problem, Martin? You clearly did not enjoy yourself. And he's like, well, it's just so ridiculous. Like, the hacking can't possibly work like that. I was like, I have someone you need to talk to. Our old friend Richard Whitaker is married to a lady who is a very high level security consultant for computers. Like, she works for like federal agencies. Yeah. And you ask her about what's going on with hacking computers and, like, how scared should I be? She's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You're already fucked. We're all already fucked. Any hacker can do anything they want to you. Trust me, you have no security.
But there's safety in the crowd. It's like, yes, because they can do something to everybody. Yeah. You'd have to challenge them or some shit for them to be like, well, I'm going to go get you.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the idea is to stay as relatively anonymous as few people as possible online.
This movie is actually a spinoff of Mr. Robot.
Right? But that's the whole thing. Is like, to some degree.
Don't you mean Fight Club?
Right. To some degree, between this and having seen a couple different documentaries about the state of like how deep web actually gets, or the dark web, or the Marianas web, because even the dark web has a boogeyman, by the way.
Or the virginity trap, whichever one you want to call it.
No one can prove the Marianas web exists, but dark web hackers talk about it.
That's a real thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but the dark web is a real thing.
No, I know the dark web. I've never heard of the Marianas web. Yeah,
I got to say, to the movie's credit, my favorite thing is that they spent about 3 seconds talking about that and went, boom, we're past it, and never went back. I really expect them to be like that one episode of SVU where every 5 seconds they talked about the dark web.
Right.
Enhance. Enhance.
Cool. It's got the word dark in it. It's cool.
If anything, I feel like once it's talked about in the zeitgeist, I feel like everybody that's really doing some shit on there goes somewhere else.
They went to the Marianas.
Yes. Like,
and we are talking about the movie Unfriended Dark Web or Unfriended 2. I'm glad they didn't call it that because this is really not a sequel to Unfriended. It's more of a complete remake of the idea using the technique that the first film was filmed in, where we're watching everything. The whole film is just watching at this guy's laptop as he's Skyping with other people and seeing other people's phone cams and looking at the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
So the first film was done the same way, except in the first film, it was about a teen girl kills herself because she was being bullied by people, and then her ghost comes to the internet and kills them all.
The execution of that movie just... It's like whoever watched that movie workshopped it and said, okay, here are the mistakes. Let us correct every one of them as much as we can. There are still mistakes in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's so much better.
Well, yeah, and I think for me personally, it's because, like I said, with that background, I'm like, I don't find this wildly implausible. No. And it's like, Martin and I are arguing about it. I can't believe we're arguing about Unfriended Dark Web and how plausible it was. And I was like, he's like, you know how much time it would take? He's like, yeah, they had enough time. Think about this. Anyway, it's one of those long discussions where he wasn't buying it.
Well, it's sort of the ticket to ride.
Yeah.
If you can't buy into the premise, when they start going, like a ride takes off, you're going to have a bad time because you fell off the ride and fell 50 feet. And you're just like, that looks like it's fun, but I don't understand it.
The thing is, ghost movies are kind of all about ambiance and setting, and doing it all on a bright computer screen is just not scary. But I am scared to fucking death of hackers. They really scare me in yeah. real life. And I was like, wow. And the idea here is this guy, Matthias, played by Colin Woodhill, works at an internet cafe. He has... Basically, as we find out, I mean, they show you in the trailers, but like he grabbed a laptop from work that had been lost and found for weeks and took it home. And he's so thrilled because he's like, oh my God, this is so much better than mine. Of course, it's a Mac. So they,
yeah.
You know, the funny thing is it follows the cabin in the woods rules.
Yeah.
He picks his way. He dies.
Yeah. Right. Is contact all his friends because it's game night where they all play Cards Against Humanity and they all live all over the place. And, you know, I mean, there's about 20 minutes of just getting to know these characters, which I actually kind of appreciated. They didn't feel like they had to jump right in because they're all pretty distinct personalities.
Honestly, that's all. I watch a bunch of horror movies. It's like, I like to watch horror movies like right before I go to sleep just because it's like spooky. Uh-huh. And like my favorite part of horror movies are when you get to know these characters. And I would love a movie where you think something's going to happen. And then it just never happens.
It's just like a drama.
Yeah, it's just a drama, and they're like, what the fuck? And like, everybody just sort of walks out.
I would say There Will Be Blood, where the soundtrack is convinced this is a horror movie, but the rest of the movie is like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, the movie does a great job of none of the characters are insanely annoying to the point where you can't wait for them to die.
They're
okay.
Seth Green.
But Seth Green-ish type guy.
He plays a 90 Seth Green.
Yeah. But anyway, let me finish the
plot. Sorry.
So one of the subplots is the main character's got a girlfriend, Amaya, played by Stephanie Nugaris, who is deaf, and he's been developing the software that he's excited for this computer because it'll work better on, that basically you can type in or say words and it will show clips of you doing the signs in sign language so you could, you know, if you're not great at sign language, you'd like just film yourself doing each one and then the computer will automatically translate it visually, which is a cool idea. Surprised if somebody hasn't already done
it.
It has to be out there, right?
I liked about that is that that's what guys do. Instead of listening to what your partner is saying, you go, okay, I heard the gist of it, so let me do this.
True.
I can fix this.
But they're kind of having a tiff, as is clear, and he's, while doing the game night, also on and off trying to get in touch with her and texting with her. But then he discovers, with the help of one of his friends who's on there, who's he's texting with at the same time, who's kind of more of a computer savvy type, that this computer has a hidden file on it that's gigantic, and filled in it is a bunch of videos that look to be just like spy cams. Well, things are a lot more nefarious than that. As it turns out, this computer was stolen from a pretty nasty fellow who, as we see early on, and once again, in the trailers, so I'm going to say it, is abducting young girls and doing horrible, horrible things to them. And this guy wants the computer back, or there's going to be trouble. But even that is not the end of his worries, as we see in Unfriended Dark Web. I don't know.
My biggest problem here is just I just get exhausted by this style.
Yes.
Like watching a film that's just on a computer like this. I'm like, I would just kill for this to turn into a normal movie, please. It's just this is what I do all day is sit on the computer. And it's a little exasperating just to watch somebody else doing it.
Well, it's a limited form. Sorry. It's a limited format. And, you know, halfway through, you're like, okay, this could have been a short or something. This is kind of exhausting. I just want it to be over.
Well, yeah. The problem I have is it challenges you to find the flaw. So it's not just I'm watching this as a movie. I'm now watching it and spending the entire time going, does it really work that way? Like questioning the tech usage of it. Like that just I mean, there's the whole first half.
It's pretty much just magic. You go, well, it all seems mildly plausible. I don't know if it is or not because I ain't a hacker. But I'm. It never goes so crazy past things I've heard are possible to do that I go, no.
See, I'm not even talking about the hacker stuff. I'm talking about like this is how nitpicky I got with it. Like, he's logged into his Facebook account, but he gets a messenger from a different Facebook account, or he leaves the window with the video in the middle of the fucking screen instead of moving it to the lower right-hand corner like any human being would do. And so, like, that's what I find myself occupying time with instead of the story.
But I think that goes to – it does something I think is really interesting that I didn't notice in the first Unfriended because I hated it so much. Because, like, I was so distracted by how stupid it was, I couldn't notice this. It's almost like you were playing a character in this movie, and you're not the main character. That's not your avatar. You are the circle, so the people watching them. And it's this really, I think, this really...
Let's try and watch out for spoilers if we can.
But it's this really interesting meta context on, are you now a part of this?
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's like what Nolan tries to do in a lot of his movies is like Interstellar, to me, like what I've read is like it's about film and stuff. And they really try to get you drawn in. But this is like, wait a second. Am I this character in the movie? Because because like halfway through, I was like, wait a second. I'm watching somebody else's screen. I'm not watching as a narrative. I'm a character in this.
Well, I mean, which ties into the inherent voyeurism that's in every horror film by definition.
Yeah, but it's never so, it hasn't been so direct. Like, it's a really interesting evolution of the found footage. Because it's like, found footage is still passive. But this is like you're actively invited. I mean, if you can get past the if you can buy the way they're doing this and the way they're buying into this and the way that he and I'm not being silly, the way he moves his mouse on the screen is this what you would do? Like when he's typing and he's there's a few things that you can tell they're just adding in to make it easier to understand visually. Like we're gonna underline, we're gonna move our mouse
circle
as we read. That's not. But you just have to. I feel like you have to go through because they haven't. I don't think audiences are trained yet to accept not doing that.
I mean, I'm watching this and I'm going, "This is." I mean, it's not even that long of a film. It's 88 minutes.
Thank God.
But I'm like going, if this was a game that you would play on your actual laptop where you were another one of their friends, but your webcam was broken so you could only text responses and stuff, I would totally be into this. I'd be like, this is awesome and scary. But it's still not enough as a movie. It's still too passive where I just, after a while, just start feeling like I need a break from my computer screen.
To Lynn Elliott's kind of point, Creedence, this is the first time I've seen a movie that takes this point of view that it does something interesting with it. Because of that aspect of we, the audience, are kind of a character in the film, that voyeur part of it, it's the first time I've seen that where I'm like, oh, I get this. There's a reason why this is our POV, and this makes sense, and it works kind of within the context of the story, whether or not that's a good story.
That film, I think, leads you down a kind of grueling rabbit hole that gets just so fucking dark that there's a point I'm like, I think this is actually pretty well done, and it is genuinely kind of scary, but I'm not sure I'm really enjoying it or having a good time.
Yeah, enjoyment doesn't really register for me. To me, this movie also, it's so clear that they want another Purge franchise. they are looking, and the key with the Purge, at least for me, is that you can imagine yourself, what would I do in X, Y, and Z situation? And it's clear that, you know, they want a fucking franchise. And I don't think this is going to catch on the same way just because there is a bigger buy-in mentally. Like, The Purge, if you buy into the concept that people can kill you over 12 hours, you're in. There's nothing else to really hurdle over.
It feels very close right now.
Yes, it does. Whereas this, like, you have to come in with a sort of a knowledge of tech, and then a belief that it can function like magic if you that you just that you're the one missing the knowledge of how to do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is so, to some degree true. I just don't know how real or not the tech is.
What Chris pointed out actually ends up being my biggest problem with this movie. Mm-hmm. So like I have to admit, I was entertained. I got into it. But at the end of the day, it's and the way I was trying to put it was, why these characters? Why are they important? And like when I watch a horror film, when I watch any kind of movie, but especially horror, I want to think that there's a reason why these characters are the ones that we're spending an hour and a half to 2 hours with. Whether or not they win, lose, I don't care.
What is the film trying to say?
I want it to be about something. And so like I felt like this entire movie was just watching people up against something that was so big that they never had a chance. And because they never had a chance, I just go, okay, I don't care.
It's weird. And that kind of thing, I don't mind if you're getting into, like, Lovecraftian territory or something, the Elder Ones. But when you're using real life, like a bunch of hackers, there's a point you're like, I kind of like it in a horror movie when a guy's at least, you at least feel like, holy shit, I think they might be onto something.
Yeah.
I think I see a ray of light. Even if at the end they don't, this movie very quickly leads you down a hole where it's like there's nothing you guys can do.
And there's like this is our generation's like, don't go down in the basement. Like,
yeah.
As soon as you see this shit happening, why are people sticking around their computer screens when people are getting killed? Leave.
Dude, also, if you are the type of person who's going to take someone's laptop or phone that is in lost and found or anywhere else, you don't sit and play around on it. You fucking wipe that shit immediately.
Right? Yeah, the format that drive the second you get it.
He logged into literally everything. I'm sorry. I'm surprised he didn't log into his bank account.
He chatted his girlfriend within 5 minutes of turning on.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. Like, the first thing, I mean, if you were going to do that, you go and you do it not at your house.
Yeah.
You reformat that shit somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that if there's some kind of tracking program, it gets wiped then.
And let's be honest, he's building an app. He knows how to do
this.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But he should have more knowledge than he does.
Leave the cafe you're at, go to Starbucks across the street, boot it up, format everything.
Yep.
You're good, go home.
End of movie. Free laptop!
But that actually leads to another thing. Like, if I'm on a group chat, and I don't care if it's fucking game night, if I'm on a group chat and somebody says something remotely suspicious about, man, I got this laptop, I'm out.
Done.
I don't care. Fuck you. If I die, I die. But I'm done. Yeah. I don't want them to think that I have anything to do with this.
Before anybody comes in and says I die.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm out.
But you notice, though, they're all white guys. You know, they fell into the white people in horror.
They had the black woman in there.
Black, yeah.
She was the most. She's like, no.
Seen this movie.
It's like Nari. She was the only one that literally had a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Like, she actually took somebody with her.
I thought it was going to be so cool.
Yeah, when I'm voice chatting with Elliot and I want him to get off because he's just going on too long, I'm like, oh, did I tell you we think there's a ghost here? And he just cuts off immediately.
Is it time to leave?
He's like, nope, I know how this story plays out. I'm done.
It's actually funny. We're remodeling right now and there's a box in our attic. And everybody's like, oh, you should open it. And I'm like, no.
Dude, I will come
hell
up
no.
with that box.
And I'm like, you haven't seen any horror movie ever?
When you open it, there's going to be nailed by...
Yeah, but haven't you ever seen, like, any of those, what is it, when they... Antique Roadshow, where they find shit in their attic and it's worth, like, $1 million?
I'll give you this. Cost-benefit analysis. If it's worth $16 billion, that's still not worth my life.
Okay. Those things in Antiques Roadshow actually happened to someone. The things in Sinister did not.
How do you prove
that you know of?
Because Cargill imagined it.
That was a documentary.
Yeah, how do you prove a negative? Like, it could have happened to somebody.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And there might be a magical ghost giraffe flying around my living room, but there's not.
But why take the chance if it costs me nothing?
All right. So if it costs you something, it might cost you $1 million you would have had otherwise by finding a valuable thing in it.
I like that this is where we've got it.
I'm concerned. I want you to be rich, sir. Or I want to hear about some really terrible horror shit that happened.
But speaking of terrible horror shit, let's get back to the movie.
I get the story rights, right? If something does happen horrible.
We will talk.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, yeah, let's... I don't know. This is... It's... a lot better than the first one, I thought. But at the same time, it is just a little exhausting to get through.
Who was the director?
The performances are decent here. It's directed by Steven Susko.
Not familiar.
Who did the American versions of The Grudge and Grudge 2. I actually thought the first one was not half bad, the first
remake. I tell you the thing that I'm really excited about with this movie, not even the movie, but the progression. In 2012, after Cabin in the Woods came out, a lot of critics, including myself, was like, how do you shoot a horror movie after Cabin in the Woods? And to me, that's a big demarcation point in horror, because the ones who take it seriously and really want to make some money off of this, like Blumhouse, have had to, and Jordan Peele, have had to think, okay, well, somebody deconstructed our entire fucking genre. What do we do now? And it's growing. It's really interesting to watch.
But that's hardly the first movie that deconstructed.
No, it's not the first one, but it was sort of like a unifying... It was a movie that was like the unified feel theory of horror. It was like, this one could be a Cabin in the Woods monster too, so fuck you. And it's like, now if you're going to make a horror movie and you're going to make it, you really want to take it serious, you have to have I feel like the good filmmakers are having a reason for it more mm-hmm. and more. So it's like, Get Out. Oh, we're comment, like to my mind, besides maybe Dawn of the Dead, and it's the first social justice horror movie, and it's really interesting.
Maybe when they make Cabin in the Woods 2, which will flash to a side scene where the whole time Buffy and the Scooby Gang are fighting, and so there's a scene right at the end you didn't see where they stop the evil.
I mean, if Joss Whedon listens to this, he's going to take that as a challenge.
Well, dude, everyone's already said that they like the theory that Cabin in the Woods takes place in the Buffyverse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I have not heard this after this
scene. Yeah, because...
Totally all
yeah.
This. Anyway, let's go back to this and go to final thoughts. Elliot, get us started.
The first 5 minutes of the movie, I'll speak for myself. The first 5 minutes of the movie, I was sitting there with my lips stuck out like, this is going to be stupid. But then I was like, let me give it a chance. And I just sort of consciously was like, I'll give you that movie. I'll give you that they can do this. And as I just handed the movie my ticket of, I'm going to go with you movie. Once I did that, it took off. And I actually had a really good time. I thought... that there was a minimum of annoying characters, and there was a lot of good some surprisingly commentary on society, and that like the swatting that happens like that's a real thing, and it's like it comments on policing that like all I have to do is do this and you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Period. And everybody knew what it was. Yeah. And everybody, it's one of the interesting things, like in Black Panther, they comment on American society by saying, you know what we did to Killmonger for his backstory? Did you torture him? Did you feed him to the, did you do something to his dad? No, we left him in Oakland in 1991. It was like, oh my God, that poor child. And as somebody who was born in New Orleans in 1984, I'm like, shit, that is a horror movie. And it's just fun when movies can say something about society, even unintentionally. So this is like, says something about use of police force. Mm. And so I had a really good time with this movie. And I think if you're a horror fan, you should definitely go see this. So I give this 7 AIM away messages out of 10. Kids, look it up.
What about you, Aaron?
So, I'm reminded of a Roger Ebert quote that I love, the quote, that a movie is not what it's about, it's how it's about what it's about. Mm. I butchered that to all shit.
No, that's a cool quote.
But, so, what this movie is, I don't like. Mm. I didn't like the ending. I don't like how they get there. But... they do it really well. I was into the movie about 10 minutes in. Once they got past the main character being the sappiest, most pathetic, lovelorn guy ever and making terrible decisions in a relationship, once they got past that part, I did really get into the movie. And I was with it the entire way, barring a couple of dumb moments and plot turns. But, like, I may not have enjoyed the destination, but I admit I did enjoy the journey. Like, I would give this 6 magical hacker men out of 10.
All right, Miguel.
This movie, I'm tired of this particular genre or subgenre of horror films. I love all types of horror films, but like, let's stop making these. This feels like in the 90s when they were doing like found footage, or like when Halloween did Halloween Resurrection and with Busta Rhymes and there was all those cameras.
Oh, God.
This is that bad. I mean, the story was decent. The characters were okay. There was some character development. It was like fluff. I'm not angry that I saw it. I'm glad that I saw it. But, you know, it's kind of empty. It leaves you feeling empty inside. If it's on, watch it. I wouldn't go out of my way again to see this. I'm going to give it just 5 out of 10 ASL conversations.
You know, I kind of, Aaron, you said, like, it's like, you're doing a good job making this film. I'm not sure I'm really enjoying watching it, though. Mm. I don't really have a problem with it outside of saying the bad guys are a bunch of hackers who normally are constantly trying to do their version of at least things that are funny. And these guys are so vile and diabolical and evil. I'm like, are you serious? No one's even going to put in like the image of the dog in the fiery room going, this is fine. You know, I was like, there are so many opportunities for sardonic humor that I thought were like, just why are they not there?
There was some humor.
There was not even a cat at any point. You make a movie about the internet, all on the internet, and there's never one cat. You've clearly done something.
No, yeah, wrong. They should have been some memes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It was something like that. In the past.
Or yeah, that was
very,
cool.
Very, very hard. The first sequence of the film.
Perhaps like a bigger overarching plan.
Yeah.
Something that they were working towards.
But at the end, it was like, okay, I mean, I get it. I don't really. I think some people are going to really like this movie, and I wouldn't be able to argue with them. I actually did kind of admire some of the things it was doing, and I actually myself liked where they ended up. I liked the destination. It was the journey I had issues with, because I was like, this could have been more enjoyable to watch. Instead, you were so concerned that everything fit that you forgot to make it where it would actually be a film that anyone would have a good time watching, which I feel like a horror movie, at the very least, should either be absolutely fucking drop-dead terrifying, or it should be a film you're going to go, I had a great time, like, watching that. The kills are cool, and the things were... And it just didn't really have... I mean, even here, the kills are, like, all but not visible at all. I mean, this is like, okay, so yeah, whatever.
Actually, is this a PG-13 movie?
I don't think Blumhouse makes much but PG-13 movies anymore. So.
Yeah, there's definitely parts you could tell they were, like, pulling back.
Yeah, but, like this could have been more, and it wouldn't have been hard to make it more... It's one of those, again, like horror movies, like everything else, do need punch-up writers. This one desperately needed one. But that being said, it's fine. This is fine. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 GIFs, not GIFs, damn it.
Damn right.
Graphics interchange format.
It's not peanut butter.